We're going to look tonight at verse 20, 1 John chapter 5. And I think it'd be good once again if we can read the whole chapter down to verse 20 and just read it responsively. And I'll read the odd numbered verses, 1, 3, and so forth, and you read the even numbered verses, and we'll be able to do that tonight. So 1 John chapter 5. In verse 1, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him.
By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments.
For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God?
This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth.
For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God which he hath testified of his Son.
He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth on God hath made him a liar, because he believeth on the record that God gave of his Son.
And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son.
He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life.
These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God.
And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will,
and if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him.
If any man seeketh God, seeketh the sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that seeketh not unto death. There is a sin unto death, but he must say that he shall pay for it.
All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness.
And we know that the Son of God is come, and hath given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life.
Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and bless you for this time tonight that we can sing. And Lord, what a blessing it is to, Lord, stir our hearts and to lift our hearts heavenward, Lord, in praise unto our God. How great, my God. And Lord, we want you to have all the praise, Lord, all the glory, all the honor, for it truly belongs to you. We know, Lord, that, Lord, one day we'll be able to do that around the throne of grace. And Lord, what an amazing thing that'll be, Lord. We get a little insight in the book of Revelation and see the host gathered there and singing, "Worthy is the Lamb." And Lord, we thank you and praise you. Lord, we would ask that you would bless our time in your word now. May it be food and drink for our souls. In the Lord Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Last week we looked at verse 18 and 19, and we said these 18, 19, and 20, how John has given us, as he winds up his letter, some things that we know. I know we keep emphasizing this, but I believe it's so important in this day and age, as David's already touched on, in a sense, this world we live in is such a mess, such an uncertain place, and yet we can know some things, and the know is this positive and absolute knowledge, the certainty of these things. They're not, I've got my fingers crossed, I hope this is all true, I know that many would doubt, but I hope it's true. No, John says we know, we have this absolute certain knowledge. And in those previous two verses, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. There is this within them, as he says earlier in 1 John, his seed remains in him and he cannot sin. He cannot have this ongoing, constant life of sin unchecked. Cannot happen. He keepeth himself and the wicked one toucheth him not. And we know that we are of God. We know this. This is something that God has done. This is not something that you and I have sort of sat down and thought, well, you know, we need to get our lives together a little better. We need to maybe stop a few things and start a few things. No. We know that we are of God. Salvation is of the Lord. And we know that. And we also know, John says, that the whole world lieth in wickedness. The whole world lieth in wickedness. This is not, one of these situations, well, we're not sure what the world's like. He says, no, we know that the whole world lieth in wickedness. And this is John speaking. You know, sometimes we get the idea, you know, we live in a wicked world today. Like, surprise. It's always been a wicked world. Always man has been at enmity with God. It's not new that the whole world lieth in wickedness. But tonight we want to move on to verse 20. And we know that the Son of God is come. John said, we know this. This is an absolute positive knowledge that we have. The Son of God is come. Now, the Son of God is one of the names of the Lord Jesus. Amen. He's called the Lamb of God. He's called the door. He said, I am the door. He's called a number of names. But one of his names is the Son of God. Now, I want to look at just a few verses just to highlight that first of all tonight. In Mark chapter 1, in verse 1, as Mark opens up his writings there, Mark chapter 1, verse 1, he makes this statement right from the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He is the Son of God. It speaks, of course, of his deity, the fact that he is God. He is the Messiah. He's God manifest in the flesh that Paul spoke about. And so in Mark chapter 1, we find that in Mark chapter 3, and by the way, these are not the only verses. These are just a few to remind us again of this great truth about the Lord Jesus. He's not just a prophet. He's not just a good man or a martyr or an example or anything else. He is indeed the Son of God. And verse 11, and unclean spirits, when they saw him, fell down before him and cried, saying, Thou art the Son of God. These unclean spirits would have at one time been in the presence of the Lord Jesus. They knew who he was. They knew that he was the Son of God. Those people to deny that, they are of that spirit of Antichrist. In John chapter 1, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, John the Baptist, remember, his job was to make straight the way of the Lord and to point people to Christ. And in verse 34, he says this, and I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God. John the Baptist said, we've been waiting and we've been looking and we've been watching. But now he said, let me tell you, this is the Son of God. This man who stands before you is the Son of God. Have a look in Acts chapter 9. The book of Acts and Acts chapter 9. And the Apostle Paul, at this point, is just a new convert. The Bible says there in verse 19, and when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. He's newly saved. And verse 20, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogue, what? That he is the Son of God. He's the Son of God. This one called Jesus, he is the Son of God. He is God incarnate. He is God manifest in the flesh. You have a look in Romans chapter 1 as Paul writes to the Romans in verse 4. Early in this book of Romans, he makes this statement in verse 4 and verse 3 first, concerning his Son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. And notice what he says, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Romans chapter 1 verse 4, Paul says this is proof that he is indeed the Son of God by the resurrection from the dead. We come back to 1 John. 1 John chapter 4 verse 15, this is why it's so important that we understand this truth. In verse 15, we've looked there before, but just to read it, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. If you confess and know that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwells in you and you dwell in him. Important truth. He is the Son of God. We know in verse 5 of chapter 5, who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is what? He's the Son of God. He's the Son of God. This is how we overcome the world, through the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe that he is the Son of God. And through him we have victory over the world. We come back to verse 20 there in chapter 5, and we know that the Son of God is come. Is come. And it's interesting, this idea of is come. The thought is this, has come and is still present. It's not has come, like he has come and now he's gone. That's not the idea at all. He is come. And I'll read this time what Wee says about it. To have come or have arrived or to be present. And he says, John does not use a verb here which speaks only of the act of coming. But it includes the idea of coming, the fact of the arrival, and his personal presence. So yes, he came and he was incarnate and he's departed in his glorified body, but he is still here with his followers on earth today. The Son of God is come. And yes, he died on the cross, and yes, he was buried and rose again and ascended into heaven after 40 days. But today, we can say, as John says, we know that the Son of God is come. He's here today. He's in our midst today. The Lord Jesus could say to his followers, even where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. There am I in the midst. In Matthew chapter 28 and verse 20, the Lord Jesus says to his disciples about going and discipling them, teaching all nations. And then he says, lo, I am with you. Always. Always. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. The Son of God is come. Amen. He's with us tonight. Indeed, he indwells every believer. In John chapter 14, 15 and 16, he teaches that the Spirit would come and would make it abode in him. But he said, I will come and I will abide in you, and the Father will come and he will abide in you. The Son of God abides in us. He has come. And he's come to stay, amen. He's come to stay. And so John goes on and says, this is something we know. This is an absolute positive truth. The Son of God is come, he's here, and he's going to stay. And not only that, he says, and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and we're in him that is true. He's come and he's given us an understanding. He has come and given us knowledge of God the Father. I don't know whether you've ever thought about it. You probably have at some time or other. That except for the Word of God, both the printed Word and the living Word, we would never know God. We would come up with our own imaginations, which people still do. And they have their picture of what God might be like or what God could be like or everything else. But without the Son of God coming, we don't know the Father. We maybe know a little bit about him, but we don't know the Father. He has come and has given us an understanding that we may know him that is true. Speaking of God the Father. You have a look in Luke chapter 10. In Luke chapter 10 and verse 22. I'll read verse 21 first of all. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight. You know, that's a good verse. We could park there for quite a while. You know, we could say, well, I don't understand what's happening here. And why does God do that? And I wonder why God allowed that. And why does God do something else? We could have this same spirit that the Lord Jesus showed. Amen. I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Why? Even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight. Amen. Lord, I don't understand why you've allowed this, but you've allowed it and it must be good in your sight. Thank you, Father, for that. But notice verse 22. All things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son. And notice what he says, and to whom the Son will reveal him. The Son of God is come to give us understanding that we might know him who is true, even God the Father. We know him through the Son. We know the verses probably well in John chapter 14. The Lord Jesus has told them that he is the way and he is the truth and he is the life. They're wondering about that. And in verse 7 he says, if ye had known me, you should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Why is that? He's come to give us some understanding of him that is true. But Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? The Lord says, well, Philip, I've actually come to give you some understanding about him that is true. And if you'll look at me, if you'll watch me, observe me, you will learn about him that is true. I'll give you understanding about him that is true. I'll give you understanding. He gives us understanding, for example, about how God the Father views the world. We saw it in that previous verse. The whole world lies in wickedness. We know that the world's always been wicked. We know that the wicked one has been evil from the beginning because he was a murderer from the beginning, the Lord Jesus said. He's come to give us some understanding about these things. This is how the Father views the world. The Father doesn't view the world as a good place getting better. He sees it lying in wickedness. He sees men lost and undone and going to a devil's hell outside the Son of God. That's how the Father... The Lord Jesus gives us some understanding about that. The Lord Jesus gives us some understanding of the love of the Father. God commendeth his love toward us, and why will we yet sin as Christ died for us? When we see all that the Lord Jesus suffered, we get some understanding of the love of the Father. This is what the Father was prepared to do. This was the extent to which the Father was prepared to go that he might make salvation available. This is something of the heart of the Father revealed. And we could read all the verses that the Lord Jesus went, the suffering he went through, despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We hid as our face were from him, all the physical suffering and everything else he went through. And what's the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, doing in all that? He's giving us an understanding of the love of the Father. He's giving us some understanding of him that is true. The Son of God has come, is come. He's still here. He still today gives us understanding of the love of the Father. He gives us some understanding of the Father's plan for dealing with sin, doesn't he? In Luke chapter 24, was those two disciples on the road to Emmaus, and they were concerned that the Lord Jesus was dead, and somehow or other the body was missing and they couldn't work it out what was going on. He came to give them some understanding. And what did he do? He went through Moses and the prophets and he taught them about those things concerning himself, the things that the Father had revealed that Christ was going to do. We see the Father's plan in the verses following in chapter 24 of Luke and 44 down through 47. He opens up to the disciples, Moses and the prophets and the Psalms, and speaks of all those things concerning himself. What's he doing? He's giving understanding of the Father's plan for salvation. The Son of God has come and has given us an understanding. We know these things are so, and we know him that is true because of the Son of God who's revealed these things to us. He's come to give us some understanding of how to live a life that is pleasing to the Father. How are we going to please God? What is going to please God? Look to the Son. He'll give you understanding of the Father's heart and what he desires. And we look at the life of the Lord Jesus. His life was perfect. We know that. And we can say, well, that's all right for him. But he was perfect. The Lord Jesus was perfect. That's true. And he lived a perfect, sinless life. You say, how did he do that? He did it through the power and the enabling of the Holy Spirit. And that's the only way he did it. The Bible says he was filled with the Spirit of God without measure. From the time of his baptism, he was anointed to proclaim the gospel and to minister. But right through his life, from conception down, he was in total yielded obedience to the Holy Spirit. And that's how he was able to lead a sinless life. The Spirit of God having 100% control of his yielded life and will to the Father. That's how he did it. So how do we do that? Same way. That is what pleased the Father. And if we want to know what pleases the Father, it's a life that is yielded and walking in obedience to the Father. And the Lord Jesus gives us understanding of that. Because he can say, this is my beloved Son, what? In whom I'm well pleased. So the Son has come to give us an understanding that we may know him that is true. Things that we know. Things that we can be sure of. That we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true. We are in him. How are we in him? Well, we've been placed in him because of the Son of God. The Son of God. We are the branches abiding in the vine. We are in him. We are in Christ. We are in the Father, and the Father is in us, and the Son is in us, that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. We are placed in the body of Christ, the church, the believers, the family of God. We are in him. And John says, look, we know this is right, and the Son of God has come to give us an understanding of these things. So that we might know him that is true. We might know that we are in him, that we are secure and we are safe in him. Even in his Son, Jesus Christ. We are in him. And then he makes this statement, this is the true God. This is the true God. The Lord Jesus Christ, he is the true God. He is the Son of God. He is the true God. True as distinct from false or counterfeit. He is the genuine God. That's the idea of the word. He is God. He is the true God. Those who would deny the deity of the Lord Jesus have trouble with this verse. Those who say he's not God, he's just a martyr or a good man or a prophet or something or other else, a good teacher, when we come to this verse, even in his Son Jesus Christ, this is the true God. John could say in his gospel, we all know the verse, chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He is the true God. He is the one who created all things. He is the true God. And not only that, he finishes the verse and says this, he is the true God and he is eternal life. He is eternal life. It's interesting, isn't it? We kind of think eternal life just means you live forever. Well, it does mean that, isn't it? It's true. That does mean that. But he is. And that makes sense, doesn't it, when you think about John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am I am. Earlier in this chapter, he that believeth on the Son. He talks about that. And this is the record that God has given to us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He is eternal life. Wonderful thought. He is eternal life. Eternal life is a person. Now, eternal life is also a relationship. We know the Lord Jesus in John 17, verse 3, when he prayed there. He said, this is life eternal, they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Eternal life is in him. We go right back to the start of this epistle of John. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life, for the life was manifested. And we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. Eternal life was manifested. The Son of God was manifested. He has come. He is still here. Amen. Eternal Son of God, the eternal life. And John says again, we know about these things. We know. We know that the Son of God is come and has given us an understanding. Isn't that a blessing? We're not left to grope in the dark. Well, I'm a Christian now. Wonder what all that means. No, the Son of God has come so that we can have some understanding about the Father and the heart of the Father and the desires and the plans and everything else of the Father. We find them in and through the Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you and bless you for our time tonight. And Father, we're thankful for the Son of God, our Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, there are many, many wonderful truths and thoughts. And Lord, we thank you that he is the true God. He is the one who gives us understanding about our Heavenly Father. And Lord, we thank you for that tonight. We thank you, Lord, we're not, as it were, groping in the dark. We know the whole world lies in wickedness and they are children of darkness. But Lord, we're in the light and we need to walk as children of light. We have understanding. We thank you that the Son of God is come. Yes, he did come physically, and yes, he did go back to heaven physically in a glorified body, but he is come still today. He is in our midst, even this night, and we thank you for that great truth, Lord. And by faith, we believe that to be so, because your word tells us it's so. We thank you that the Son of God abides in each and every believer. We thank you for that. We thank you again that he is the true God. And Lord, I pray as we go from here tonight, Lord, we might reflect upon these things and we might be so thankful that the Lord Jesus is come. And we're thankful for the understanding that he's given us, the knowledge that he has given us. And Lord, as we would continue in your word, may we grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we want to give you thanks, we want to give you praise in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen.